And thanks, Patrice. Good morning, everybody. It's great to be here in Bray. It's a while since I've been here. If you don't know me, my name's Eddie, one of the elders in Liberty Church. It's a great privilege for me to come here and preach this morning and share God's word. It's exciting, isn't it? What God is doing in Bray, but also what God is doing in Ireland. You know, God has a great heart for Bray, you know, a great heart for Ireland, a great heart for people. And it's fantastic to see that God is outreaching out to the people of Bray. You know, that he's planting a church, he's setting things in motion, he's getting the ball moving, if you like. And I do believe that God just dropped in my heart there before I got up, that we're part of something that's going to grow and grow and grow. I do believe that this time next year we will be twice the size, and then the year after that and the year after that we're going to keep on growing to the point where God is going to accomplish all that he wants to do in Bray. God has a great heart for the people of Bray, but also know that it's great to be part of that, and it's great to be involved in what God is doing. Sometimes when we look around and we think, you know, things are going too slow or things are going as fast as we like, but it's in God's time. It's in God's time. Amen. Amen. It took God a long time to get me up preaching. You know, it took God a long time to accomplish things in my life. And some things, sometimes God's plans work on his time and not on our time. But one thing I do want to say is that it's great to be involved, and it's great to be part of what God is doing. It's great to be, you know, on the ground floor, as they call it, in business terms, in what God is doing. I remember when Noel asked myself and Vicky, my wife Vicky, to be part of what Liberty were doing in Rialto all those years ago. When we first started off with a house group in the flats in Dolphins Barn. And, you know, we'd go into the flat, and Noel and Sharon's flat, and we'd be all squeezed in there. About 30 would squeeze into a little two-bedroom flat, Patrice's home, actually. And we'd be all squeezed in there, and someone could play a guitar, they could play a guitar, and three chords on a guitar, and we'd go away with it. And we'd sing, and we'd worship, and we'd bless God, and we'd thank God for what he's going to do. And Pastor would go up and say, you know what, God has a great plan for Rialto. God has a great plan for Dublin City, and God has a great plan for this country. And I'd be looking at it thinking, man, we're all squeezed in here to a flat. There's 30 of us squeezed in the flat. I can't see this plan happening. I don't know where this plan is happening. And so we branched out, and we decided to go Saturday night. And we rented a hall in called St. Andrew's, just in the heart of Rialto. And 12 of us branched out from St. Mark's and Pier Street, and we started on Saturday night. And then we believed God for Sunday morning, exactly what you guys are doing. We believed God for Sunday morning, and 12 of us stepped out of the comfort zone of the church that we were in and went into this new thing that God was doing, this brave adventure that God was doing, which meant that we had to give up off our backsides, to go knocking doors, to go inviting people into the church to be... You know, Rob would tell you, we had to set the church up, didn't we, Rob, into an attic and put everything down and put it all up into an attic, all the worship stuff and all, because we couldn't leave it where it was. It wasn't our building. And we had to get up into an attic, didn't we, Rob, and hand everything down. And that went on for a couple of years. And then Pastor and the group was believed God for a building. And we stepped out in faith and we bought a building with no money, with nothing at all. But Pastor had the faith, and we ran with him, and we stepped in. We bought a building which is in town, which is in RD Street, which cost us, I don't know the figures, but it was a lot of money, and it was scary. It was really, really scary. And there was about 20 of us at the time that bought into this idea that what God is doing. See, sometimes we just don't know what God is doing, but the plan was unraveling, and eventually we grew into 300 people. Over the period of a couple of years, we grew into 300 people. People coming from everywhere, brand new. It wasn't just Christians coming from other churches. It was brand new people getting saved and getting set free, and finding this new hope in life, finding this new dream that they could have, this peace, this strength. And it was centralized in the church in RD Street for us. And then we believed God for Bray, because God told us, I want you to plant a church out in Bray. We want you to go out to Bray. And we're here this morning, amen. And this is the beginning. You have to know that this is the beginning, this is the start of it. And what God is going to do is going to blow your mind. because it's not us, it's God. And I am absolutely privileged. It's my boast. If I'm ever talking to people, especially American people that come in or people come over from the UK or anything like that, it's my boast that I was part of Liberty from the ground floor. That I was part of it from the very beginning. And I seen what God can do. And a lot of the stuff is what we have to grab onto, yeah? It's what we have to take hold of and say, you know what, God, I can't see it with my own eyes, but I'm not going to look with my eyes. I'm going to look with your eyes. And God has a heart for Brian. God is going to grow this church. Believe me, he's going to grow this church because there's many people out there that need to hear this message. They're hungry for this message. They're hungry for hope. They're hungry for something in life that's beyond them, that's above them, that they can't achieve, but in Christ they can achieve it. Amen? And I encourage everybody that's involved in the Bray Church, I would encourage you to come alongside Rob and Patrice, come alongside myself and Peter, the elders, and Pastor Noel, and as much as you can, get involved in things. Because believe me, my involvement in the flat when Noah's flat was getting up and making tea, that was my sole involvement. Then it ended up, Noah bought me a bongo. And he says, play the bongo, Eddie. Then Noel got me lessons playing the drums. And it started off very, very... And then Noel asked me, Eddie, would you get up and share a bit of a word? And it started off from there for me. Very, very simple. Very, very... something that I thought was beyond my grasp, to go up and speak in front of people. If you knew me in my past, I would never go up and speak in front of people. Never. And, God says, no, I see something different in you. Yeah, I see something different. And that goes for all of us individually, that there's something in you that God wants to bring out. There's a giftings in you that you have. You don't know you have yet. But you have. And that goes for everybody. That goes for everybody that's involved. That's my personal testimony involved with Liberty Community Church. But you guys need to find out what's my role. What can I do? Where's my giftings? And how can I get involved? And in what capacity can I get? And you'd be blessed. You'd be blessed in working for God and serving God. You'd be absolutely blown out of your socks to know that God is doing that in me, that God is giving me that, God is allowing me to do that. I'm privileged to be able to be involved in that. And are you with me on that? Do you hear me on that? It's a great thing, isn't it? It's a great thing. I want to just share with you this morning, if you have your Bibles with you, Isaiah 9. And it's part of the series about Christmas time, about the characters that are involved in the Christmas story. And I find it very hard to see things logically. Noel always gives me something to preach on, and I can never get what he's saying. I can never understand. No, what you handed me something, I don't know what to do with it. So I'm always thinking outside the box. I'm always thinking in different ways than what Noel is thinking. And I want to talk about the gift this morning. What Christmas is all about. You often hear that story, the reason for the season, don't you? You often hear that, see on the back of cars, and that's the reason for the season. But the reason for the season is that something was given to us. There was a gift given to us. And that's all what Christmas is all about. If you go right back into the history of St. Nicholas, Santa Claus or St. Nicholas, St. Nicholas, if you can read history and if you can read kind of stories about him, part of what he wanted to do was that he wanted to show everybody that Christmas was about giving a gift. And so he went around secretly giving people gifts to remind people that Christmas time, the birth of Jesus Christ, is about a gift. And that's where Christmas actually began, was him giving people gifts to get people to remember that the gift was given to us. And who is the gift? And what is the gift? And why do we need a gift? Why do we need someone giving us something? And that's what I want to talk about this morning. So are you with me? Isaiah 9, are you there? Okay, so this is Isaiah talking about the birth of Jesus Christ 500 or so years before he was born. So it's a prophecy given to Isaiah from God to tell the people what is to come. Isn't that an amazing thing? 500 years before. 500 years before the Christmas story, God had already spoken about the Christmas story, and God already had the plan in place. But if you go even further back into Genesis, and we hear about the fall of man, and you read that in First Genesis or Second Genesis about the fall of man, and you hear about the failure of Adam and the failure of Eve, and the fall. And we also, God says, no, I have a plan. I'm going to do something about that because it's not my will that you have something blocking me and you. I want to get back to you. I want to have a right relationship with you, God is saying. And so, Adam and Eve, I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to send someone to you that's going to save you from the blockage that you have, that we have together, me and you. I want to do something about it. And if we push it on up the centuries, God is given, I say, just a little bit more detail about what's going to happen. Because it's going to happen soon. And he's telling them exactly how it's going to happen and why it's going to happen. Okay, so we start off with verse 2. And try and read this in today's culture and the way men and women think today and the condition of people's hearts today. Try and think about it as God is speaking to the now, to us, to the relevant, okay? The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest. Men rejoice when dividing the plunder, for as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. And he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From the time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. What an amazing prophecy. What an amazing thing for God to say. Completely, a complete sideways view of what God is going to do. A son. And I can imagine the people thinking, what is Isaiah talking about there? What does he mean? A son is going to be given. What's this mean? And the people of the time didn't realize that the Christ was going to come as an infant. The Christ was going to be born, given to us as a gift. But the reason why Christ was given to us is that, and it goes back up to verse 2, that the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And we have to understand that at Christmas time, the sun is given to us because people are walking in darkness. Did we hear that this morning? That there is a darkness in the world. Now, it's not a physical darkness. Turn on the light and the darkness is gone. The morning comes, the night is gone. It's a spiritual darkness. Try and read into that, what God is saying. There's a spiritual darkness in the world. And sometimes we just don't, it just doesn't twig on us because we're in the dark. I remember when I first became a Christian and, many, many, many years ago, a guy came into my house to help me. I was suffering from a horrific addiction that I had that I just could not stop. I couldn't give her up. I couldn't let it go. I just couldn't walk away from it. And I tried everything. Everything I could do, but I just could not beat this addiction that I had. And I remember a fella coming in, and he came from one of the churches in Bray. And he says, God can help you. And I was looking at this guy, and I'm thinking, you know, how can God help me? What do you want me to do? Do you want me to go to Mass every morning? How is that going to help me? I just couldn't get it. And he said, can I pray with you? And I says, yeah, but you can pray me, but after you pray, you give me a few bob, because I need money here. And I had all these plans. I had all these plans for this guy. He had plans for me, and I had plans for him. And especially if you come into my territory, and you look like you have plenty of money, you're driving a big fancy car, you know. And I had all these plans, and he had all these plans. But he said, you're in darkness. And I couldn't understand. I said, no, I'm not in darkness. I just have an addiction. He said, yeah, but your darkness is causing your addiction. And I just could not grasp that.
I could not understand it because I was so blind. Darkness, what's darkness? Turn on the light. In the dark, turn on the light. He says, no, it's a spiritual darkness. It's spiritual. He, hocus pocus, rubbish. And I could not tie into that. And I went over to, I battled with this for a long time. I went over to a treatment centre called Teen Challenge. And I heard more about this story, about being in darkness. I heard more about this Jesus person. All I knew about Jesus was this guy on a cross that was a million miles away from me and my issues. And people were praying with me, and I was reading my Bible, and I read stuff like this. And I used to say to them, is this your Bible? Did you just put all this stuff in here? Because I used to think, there was no, you know, people who write their own Bibles, you know what I mean, and put their own stuff in it, because there's no way someone said this about Jesus, 500 years. You know, he's putting all this stuff in here and all. I couldn't grasp it. And one day, I asked the Lord into my life, and the only way I could put it, it was like coming out of a deep sleep. It was like coming out of a deep, deep sleep that all of a sudden I could see things for what they really were. The veil was pulled off my eyes. And then I could start to see things for who they are and what they are. And I could make a statement like, you know what? I am spiritually blind. I am not aware of any of this stuff. I'm not aware. I used to think maybe there is a God, but now I know there's a God. I used to think that if God is out there, you know what? What would he want to do? And I said, no, I know God is out there and he wants something to do with me. How do I know that? Because I can feel him in me. He's talking to me. I'm reading the word and it means something to me. He's starting to heal me of big issues in my life. The need for drugs and drinking alcohol was waning away from my life, and the need for him was getting stronger. And it is a spiritual darkness. The world is in a spiritual, there is a spiritual darkness that blinds us to the fact that God exists. I remember working, and remember conversations in the canteen, and all of a sudden religion would raise its head, you know what I mean? Because it's an unwritten rule, you never talk about religion or politics in work, but someone starts talking about religion, you know what I mean? And before the five, maybe six people in the room, and every one of them would give their opinion, their view of what religion is. And someone would go, well, you know, it's about going home, you know what I mean, and meditating, you know what I mean. And my cousin's auntie's brother's sister is a Buddhist. They went over to Thailand and they brought back this little statue and all that kind of stuff. And we just meditate. It's about meditation. And then another person would go, well, you know what, I was brought home these as a present from America, these dream catcher, Indian dream catcher things, and we put them above our bed, and that's their religion. And other people say, well, you know what, God is everything, and God is everything, and God is that. And every person in the room gave an opinion about what God is. And I said to myself, I thank you, Lord, that I know who you are. I thank you that I'm not making things up here. That I have a solid belief in who God is. And how do I know who God is? Because he's in me. And for me to make a statement like that, no, Jesus is God, to be uproar in the canteen. How dare you suggest? Now, these are people talking about dream catchers and praying to statues and I saw him, and if I make a statement like Jesus, Lord, then you're thrown out of the... He's talking about religion up in that. I thought we weren't allowed to talk about religion. There's a blindness in the world. There's a naivety and a blindness in the world when it comes to spiritual issues. And that's what Isaiah was talking about here. There is a people walking in darkness, but they have seen a great light. I love that about the Lord. Christmas time is about a great light being brought into the world. Yeah? Those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And Christmas time is about, if you can hear what God is saying, that there's a great light being brought into the world. But the only way that you can understand that light, and the only way you can know that light, is to walk into it. See, Eddie, you're getting Hollywood now. Walk towards the light. I'm not... The only way to explain how you can avail of this light in your life is to ask him in. There it is. A great light. for the people that are walking in the shadow of death. Now, the only way you can understand that light in your life is to ask the light into your heart. Is to come and submit to that light. See, Isaiah is talking about God's answer to the world. God's answer to the darkness in the world. But he is the answer. But how do we avail of that answer? How do I understand that? How do I get that into my life? How do I get out of the darkness and into the light? Well, it's asking him and inviting him to come in and be that light in your life. It just doesn't happen. Yeah, when you come into a dark room and you put the light on, everybody gets the light. Doesn't it? Everybody, the light's on. But that's not the way it works spiritually. I can walk alongside a person in the darkness and I can be in the light. I did for many years. They don't get my light unless they ask that light in. Do you understand that? And this is the thing, this is what Christmas messages is all about. There's also people in the world that are oppressed. And it talks about it here. It says, and increase their joy and rejoice before you as people rejoice in their harvest. Men rejoice when dividing the plunder, as in the day of Midian's defeat. You have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulder. People are also not only in darkness in this world, but oppressed by the darkness. I can testify to that. I can say that I was oppressed by the darkness. There's a lot of wrong things that go on in this world. There's a lot of things that subdue people. There's a lot of things that keep people down in their heads and in their bodies and in their lives. And Isaiah says it's like a bar across their shoulders. Can you imagine someone putting a bar across their shoulders and tying that bar to you? You're helpless, aren't you? What does he get this from? A bar across your shoulders. What does that mean? Well, I'll tell you what it means. If one of you guys would allow me to tie a bar across your shoulders and then let you go, you can see what happens in your life. Very, very little. You can't eat. You're constantly in pain. You can't have anything. Someone has to help you do everything. Yeah? It's a type, you see. It's a vision that Isaiah gets, that people are like people going around with bars across, completely helpless and oppressed by the world. And the world has a great habit of doing that. You see in youth culture nowadays with drugs and alcohol that they are oppressed. They're oppressed by them. Peer pressure. I'm working with guys, and we work with guys down through the years and even to this day, and they feel that they have to get involved in what their friends are getting involved in. Peer pressure. They have to. They've no other choice. You see other people that are oppressed with depression and they have to go to the doctor and the doctor has to help them out psychologically. You see other people in mental institutions and they're completely oppressed by their feelings and by their thought life. You see other people that are completely oppressed with sinful desires and sinful passions that are acted out in their lives, costing them everything. And God is saying that the great light has set people free, not only from the darkness, but also from oppression. And we have to wake up to that this morning, that this great light that has been given to us is for us to be free. I love that about the Christian message, that Christ has come to set us free. But the darkness and the oppression will come and get us to make statements like, I'm okay. I don't need anything. I don't need to be saved. What does saved mean? I have everything that I need. I have money. I have a home. I have my health. I have everything. And in that then, you're robbed of any spiritual experience. Because you deny the need for God. You deny the need that God has to intervene in my life and set me free. I don't need to be free. I'm already free. And so you're already suppressed and oppressed by the fact that you have no spiritual input into your life at all, that you're completely self-dependent. And that's a very, very dangerous place to be. It's easy to go to a young drug addict and say, God can set you free, because he knows you need to be set free, doesn't he? It's easy to go to someone that suffers with depression and say, God can set you free from that depression. See, you know what, I need to be set free. It's hard to go to someone and say, God, and says, we don't need to be free. I'm already free. And they're completely robbed of any experience in Christ. Because it's not only about people that have obvious problems. Every one of us are oppressed by the world. We're either robbed of any spiritual experience or we're oppressed by our physical body that we need to be set free. There's two types of people in the world. People who don't need to be free and people who will crawl on that ground to get some sort of freedom. And so what category do you fall in this morning? Where do we fall in this morning? What basis do I have? Do I need God? How much do I need God? Am I in the light or am I in the darkness? Do I know anything about spiritual things? Am I satisfied? Genuinely satisfied with the things of the world? I had everything in the world. You know what? I had everything and I had nothing. And I was never happy. I remember walking on the building sites and I have 300, 400, and 500 pounds every week in my hand. And it went through my hand like sand. I had clothes, I had this, I had that, I had everything that you can ask for in the world, and I was as miserable as the next fella. And then there was times when I had nothing, absolutely nothing, and I was just as miserable. See, a spiritual experience isn't just about, it just doesn't stop at the need. Christ comes and he blesses us. The Bible says that we divide the plunder, we can have a life in him that's for living. I have come to give you life, and life in its full. Did we understand that this morning? I have come to give you life and life in its full. If I could have said to myself after 5 years as a Christian, you know what? I'm okay now. Don't touch drugs anymore. Don't need God anymore. Don't need all these mad churches anymore to read the Bible. And I could have knocked it on the head. Could have touched it on and said, you know what? I'm walking away from this stuff. Great experience. Tally ho. See you all later. But at the end of the day, I would have been walking back into darkness. I'm back into spiritual oppression. I'm back into a place where I don't have God in my life. I have nothing in my life. I'm as empty as I was before I started. And then I'll start to try and fill this emptiness again with the things of the world. We understand that the Christian message is a deeper message than just meeting our basic needs. It says there in verse 6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Why would you not jump at him? Why did we run away from this? Why do we run away from this great light that's in the world? Why do we turn our backs to the Prince of Peace? Surely we want peace in our lives. Why do we turn away from the God that we have? It says there'll be no end. There'll be no end. It's not great hope in that. I can't last 2 minutes outside God and I'm starting to look at things that have ends. Do you understand that? I started to put hope in things of the world that I know are fickle and fall apart in my hand. But God says, there's no end to me. It's always increasing. Always increasing. There's always, you can always depend on me. You can always turn to me in your darkest time because there's no end to me. I am the Prince of Peace. I am the Wonderful Counselor. You know what? 25th of December, Christmas Day, a great light we're remembering is brought into the world. Who is that light? The Wonderful Counselor. The one that I can turn to. You know what? I tried to live a long time on my own, figuring things out on my own. Trying to suss things out. Trying to make sense of things. Trying to make sense of hurting my life. Trying to make sense of things that went wrong. Trying to make sense of where I'm going in life. Who am I? My identity, my present and my past. Where I'll be in 10 years' time. I couldn't figure it out for a minute. The best way that I could figure it out was just to be doped up all the time. Because then I didn't have to figure it out. But you know what? When I became a Christian, the greatest gift that God gave me is he started figuring things out for me. He started saying, Eddie, why don't you go down that road? Eddie, why don't you get involved with that? Eddie, why don't you do that? Why don't you get married, Eddie? Why don't you look after your kids, Eddie? Why don't you buy a house for yourself? Why don't you do... He started to figure all these things out for me. And all I had to do was lay it down at him. Because he says he's the Wonderful Counselor. He is someone that I can turn to at all. Even in my darkest times, and I've had dark times as a Christian, there's always a way out. I said that to a guy the other day. He says, what's the difference between a born-again man? He says, a born-again man knows the way back. A born-again man knows the way back. A fellow who, if you know this God, you'll never want to be away from him. Now, we have walked away from him in periods of my life where I've been in darker places again, and that's life, isn't it? But there's always a way back to God. There's always a way back to God. There's just always a prayer away. But why? Because he loves us. He's patient. I need that, son. Do you know what? I need that gift. Because Christmas to me isn't about presents and all. They're all great. It's all about the kids and all that kind of stuff. But I need that son born that day. I need him. I need him in my life. I need that child. If I hadn't got him, I wouldn't be standing. I'd be dead. I wouldn't be standing here. I need that son. I need that gift. I need him in my life. He has to be in my life. And I thank God every day for him, that you sent that son for me to save me my wretchedness and my hopelessness, for also to give me a life and a life worth living. He is my Prince of Peace. He is my mighty counselor. He is my God. And of his increase there is no end. And I love that about God. And he upholds me, the Bible says. Don't you want someone in your life to uphold you? Is that not a great thing? To wake up tomorrow morning knowing that God, you uphold me. It's nothing to do with me, God. It's up to you. I love that. I said, God, I can't do this. He says, I know you can't. Let me do it. In my weakness, you are made strong. In your weakness, I am made strong, says God. So God uphold me. I give that to God every day. I get out of my own head. I say, God, I can't do this. Good. You're getting it now. This isn't a great relief. To say, okay, Father, you do it. You get me through this day. You help me to rear my kids. You help me to pay the bills and do my job. You help me to look after my wife, look after myself, look after my own mental health. You help me. He says, now I can, because I will uphold you. That light that is given to us in the world, he upholds us. That son, that gift, he's upholding me every day. With justice and righteousness from the time and forever. And the Bible, Isaiah, nails a home like this, and I'll finish with this. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. It's God's passion. God's passionate for you. He is absolutely mad about you. It's his zeal to accomplish all this. It was the zeal of heaven to send a son. It was the passion of heaven to give a son. It was his zeal that took him from one kingdom into another. It was his zeal and his passion to become a child and to live amongst men. Almighty God, to live amongst men, to be subjected to what men are subjected to, and to go to the cross. It was the zeal of heaven to accomplish this. And so we'll just tap into that zeal every morning. Father, you're passionate for me, so we don't need to worry. You will keep me, so we don't need to worry. You will uphold me. I don't need to worry about that anymore. I know you're passionate about me. It's outside me. I know, Father God, that you see my doubts and you see my down times and you see the times when I don't read my Bible, the times when I'm not really involved in church, the times when I can't be arsed, the times when I'm just not bothered. Your zeal keeps me going when I'm not going. I love to have help the Lord because I can't do it. And that's what brings me to the pulpit. That's what gets me playing drums and gets me to church every Sunday, because it's not about me. It's him that does it. It's his zeal. He will always pick me up. And tell you, I've been picked up many times as a Christian. Please don't get naive in your head thinking the Christian life is about you being floating up to the stars every day. It's a great life. Don't get me wrong. The Christian life is a great life. But life is life for everybody, including the Christian. Jesus says you will have troubles in this life, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. I love that. Amen. Let's stand. I don't want to just get the worship team back. Get that fabulous drummer back up there real quick. Where's he gone? I really feel in my spirit just to get everybody just involved in what was being said this morning. There's a lot covered, but the main message is that a son has been given. A gift has been given. Are we availing of that?